You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome to New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Do you remember the hit film Back to the Future, about a teenager who in 1985 is accidentally transported back to 1955? It may be the perfect memory to launch us into this issue and our theme of pretend you're a time traveler. The unique day is celebrated on Monday, December 8th. But we don't have to pretend to be a time traveler, because New Wisco Weekend is employing its own time machine that will take us back to revisit the music, the news, and the movies from the first half of the 20th century. Traveling in time could create paradoxes, but did it also create the Mandela effect? Amanda Nimmer ruminates on that. We have stories taking us back to a former governor now remembered with a historic marker, plus memories of a special nonprofit that creates special spaces. But wait until you learn how it impacted our Connie Feldman with WGBW News years ago and why it still matters for her family today. Pete Schwabo will take us on a look back with his classic cinema pick of the week. And in about 50 minutes, a mainstay in Northeast Wisconsin entertainment, Frank Hermans from Let Me Be Frank Productions, takes us back with a Christmas classic. So what are your favorite Christmas or winter holiday memories? We open up this issue by wondering, did you ever hang silver icicles on your tree? Do you remember sitting at the designated kids' table? Or sledding down a hill on those slippery saucers? Would you go back if you could? Terry Barr takes us to one of the unique places in our state where you can travel back to enjoy life before the real hustle and bustle.
There's something magical about celebrating Christmas the old-fashioned way. And there's a place where the traditions you may recall and miss still come alive every December. This season, it starts with a good old breakfast with Santa. Old World Wisconsin Guest Services Manager Betsy Gasper says the tradition is back after quite a few years.
Trying to find the records, we don't know for sure, but it's been more than 10 years since we've had breakfast with Santa, so we're really happy to bring it back this year.
And when they say breakfast with Santa, they really mean it.
We have a breakfast buffet, so you get all kinds of yummy things, roasted potatoes, French toast, eggs, bacon, sausage, pastries, and of course, hot chocolate with peppermint whipped cream. Can't forget that.
The event takes place in the beautifully refurbished Clausing Barn. It's an octagon structure dating back to 1897. Think warm lights, wooden beams, and just enough rustic charm to take you back to a simpler time.
I think the memories that people cherish with their families, I think it just makes it feel like, you know, more warm and cozy.
And Old World Wisconsin's historic village becomes a winter postcard. Garland-lined shops, costume interpreters, and that iconic horse-drawn sleigh riding through the 1890s town.
We are a historic site, and everything that is here on our property was moved here from other places in Wisconsin. We tell the story of the people who settled here in Wisconsin, from Germans to Norwegians. We have a wide variety of ethnic backgrounds that we have buildings from where they settled.
It's a cozy feeling, reminding you why holiday traditions are special.
So when you come and experience history in that way, it connects you to your ancestors or just helps you create your own current family memories.
Not all traditions, however, are sugar-coated. Old World Wisconsin also brings a little old world mischief with its Krampus cabin. Yes, it is that Krampus. Horns, fur, jingling bells, and a leather switch for those who may need a reminder to stay on the nice side.
Our ancestors from Germany brought this tradition over. We like to educate people on it and let them learn a little bit kind of about that tradition and where it came from. He is kind of rustic, I guess you would say. His costume includes like coats of goat and sheep fur. He has like a horned mask. He also wears bells so you can hear him when he's coming, but he also carries with him a leather switch because the naughty children need to be reminded that they were naughty.
After the holidays, Old World Wisconsin will briefly close for the winter, but it won't be quiet there. A new welcome center is under construction. It's going to open in the new year, just in time to celebrate the site's 50th anniversary.
We will have a brand new welcome experience as people come in for their ticketing. We'll also have a brand new gift shop, and that will open just in time for our 50th birthday.
So whether you want to relive the traditions of your ancestors, your childhood, or maybe start new ones with your own family, Old World Wisconsin is offering a holiday season that looks back and forward at the same time. You can find all the details, hours, and more online by searching for Old World Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
If you could do it all over again, what would you change? Pete Schwabba explores that question.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabba's Classic Movie Pick of the Week.
Have you ever wanted a chance for a post-high school redo? If so, you might want to see what happens in this week's classic pick, Peggy Sue Got Married. This fantasy drama hit theaters in 1986 and stars Kathleen Turner as Peggy Sue and Nicolas Cage as her boyfriend and husband, Charlie, an aspiring rock and roll star. The couple has dated since high school and married young after Peggy Sue got pregnant. Their relationship has been rocky, but they have two kids. Despite their troubles, Peggy Sue decides to attend her 25th year high school class reunion and takes her daughter, Beth, played by Helen Hunt. Things get complicated when Charlie arrives, and even more complicated when Peggy Sue faints after being named reunion queen opposite a former class nerd who is now a multimillionaire. After fainting, Peggy Sue is transported back to 1960 as a high school senior and given a second chance to restart her life. She does some exploring while trying to figure out what happened, but as it turns out, she realizes if she takes a different path, she will never meet the two most important people to her, who she is reminded of when Charlie gives her a locket.
Here. It's a birthday present. I'm tired of being the romantic fool. I'm gonna go save my car.
Charlie?
It opens too. Look inside.
Scott and Beth. Where did you get this?
Who are Scott and Beth? Your mother gave me those. It's you and me. You know that.
So are they. Oh, Charlie.
I love you.
In addition to being reminded of her children, one of the sweetest scenes in the movie is a brief scene where Peggy goes home after waking up at 18 again and sees her mom for the first time in years. Wouldn't we all want to see someone special to us if we had the chance again? Especially our moms? The movie is well cast with Turner, Cage, and Hunt, and there is a young pre-famous Jim Carrey who plays one of Cage's character's bandmates. Director Sofia Coppola is also in the movie, which including Cage equals three members of the Coppola clan. Peggy Sue Got Married is directed by Coppola patriarch and filmmaking legend Francis Ford Coppola. Fun fact, all three members of the family involved in this film are Oscar winners. Coppola has won 5 Academy Awards, 3 for writing, 1 for directing, and 1 for producing. Nicolas Cage won a Best Actor Oscar for Leaving Las Vegas in 1996, and Sofia Coppola won for Best Screenplay in 2004 with Lost in Translation. These particular Coppolas are not the only ones in the business. You may or may not know that Talia Shire, who played Connie in The Godfather, and Adrian in Rocky, is Francis Ford's sister. Her son, Jason Schwartzman, Francis's nephew, and Sophia and Nicolas Cage's cousin, is also an actor who starred in Rushmore and Moonrise Kingdom. What would you do if you could reset your life? See if you like the way Peggy Sue Got Married ends and ask yourself if you would do anything differently. At the very least, it's fun to think about and a great movie. Enjoy Peggy Sue Got Married. It's this week's classic movie pick of the week. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabba.
The Wisconsin chapter of Special Spaces is just one of the many worthy causes benefiting this week from Civic Media's Give Back Tuesday. But this nonprofit holds a special space in the heart of our Civic Media colleague, Connie Fellman. Feldman is the WGBW Green Bay news anchor and reporter.
When our station manager, Dan Marcus, asked me for my input on local recipients for Civic Media's Give Back Tuesday campaign, Special Spaces was the first thing that came to mind.
Special Spaces is a nonprofit organization that provides dream bedroom makeovers for children with cancer. Several years ago, Special Spaces also included children with other life-threatening medical conditions, like Feldman's daughter, McKay. McKay suffers from lymphatic malformation, or LM, which is described as a tangled lymph system. The backup of lymph fluid causes swelling, which not only creates facial deformity, but also closes off her airway, forcing McKay to breathe through a tracheostomy tube and get nutrition through a feeding tube. McKay was the recipient of Special Spaces' first bedroom makeover in Green Bay in 2012. It gave her a place to just play, be a kid, have her own space, something that's life-changing not only for the child, but also for the family as well, recalled Feldman.
All the work you put into making a cute nursery for your baby when you're pregnant kind of goes out the window. McKay was at UW-Madison Children's Hospital in Madison for 3 months after she was born. When we were finally able to bring her home, she came with a room full of medical supplies and respiratory equipment, a feeding pump, and a full staff of in-home nurses 24/7. Her nursery was basically a hospital room.
That is, until Special Spaces came along when McKay was 7 years old. Old enough to tell Special Spaces she really liked music, bugs, playing dress-up, and that her favorite colors were lime green, orange, and pink.
I have no idea where she came up with that. She'd been a simple pink and purple kid up to that point. I remember thinking, egads, how are they supposed to make something work with those colors?
Special Spaces transformed McKay's room in one day while the family was at the Milwaukee Zoo, and Feldman says it was nothing short of magical.
We walked in to a little girl's room, not a hospital room. I just burst into tears. They'd put a gauzy pink canopy over her bed, and all her medical equipment was hidden behind a polka dot curtain over her closet. The walls were a beautiful, bright, yes, lime green, with an orange chair in the corner for her nurse to do the charting. But what McKay zeroed in on right away was the dress-up corner. A princess crown, costumes, and a pink feather boa hung on decorative hooks, framing a giant purple princess mirror. She dove right in.
Feldman says she saw something shift in her little girl that day as she explored her very own special space.
It was like she'd found a form of self-expression and confidence, feeling all the love and support from so many people throughout the community, whom she never even met, focused on her as a little girl, not as a rare medical case. When I say the experience was life-changing, I'm not exaggerating. Something just blossomed in her, and I have Special Spaces to thank for that.
Feldman says she's grateful to be able to give back to Special Spaces through Civic Media's Give Back Tuesday campaign.
I am so proud to be part of a company that's provided me the opportunity to give back, even a small portion of the gift we were given through Special Spaces.
Since then, McKay, by the way, has maintained her love of music. That little girl is now a sophomore in college, majoring in music at St. Olaf College in Minnesota. She'll be home for Christmas break in just a few weeks before leaving for Scotland to attend the University of Aberdeen for spring semester. Feldman tells us Aberdeen is in the heart of McKay clan territory, the family surname for whom McKay is named. McKay hopes to become a music therapist when she graduates. And by the way, she still has that pink feather boa. For New Wisco Weekend and Civic Media, I'm Lisa Hale. There's more ahead, including our cover story looking back at the first half of the 20th century. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
This is New Wisco Weekend on Civic Media Radio stations WGBW and WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Now, if you're still wondering about this issue's theme, Pretend You're a Time Traveler Day, here's what makes it so interesting. An online blogging group created it back in 2007. They simply wanted a day to celebrate the idea of traveling in time, whether that meant reminiscing about using old or no technology, family traditions, or visiting holiday memories. How will you celebrate Pretend You're a Time Traveler Day? Something to think about. When you talk about time travel, you think about paradoxes and splitting off into different dimensions. And that's kind of where commentator Amanda Nimmer is going this week.
Have you ever had that moment where something you believed was one way your entire existence, and you find out you were wrong? It's like the glass has shattered around you because you swear it was that way. You swear that it happened. And it wasn't even just you. There's multiple people backing you up going, no, it happened this way. No, it's supposed to look like this. No, it's spelt this way. Multiple people swear on their own lives that this happened. But you're wrong. And it never did. It's called the Mandela Effect. An odd phenomenon where large groups of people share the same false memory. And in fact, it was even named that way by Fiona Broom in 2009 because of a shared false memory of Nelson Mandela dying in prison in the 1980s, when in reality he was released from prison and passed away in 2013. But everyone swears it was one way. Mandela effects. It's infuriating. Some of the most popular ones as of right now is that the Monopoly Man has never worn a monocle, but I can explicitly, and so have others, remembered the man had a monocle. We were not confusing him with the peanut guy. There was a monocle on him. It's what made him fancy beyond the top hat. If you're a millennial, you, of course, flipped out a few years ago with everyone else when you found out that Sinbad was never a genie in a movie called Shazam. But you explicitly remember, I mean vividly, like scenes, pictures in your brain of this movie truly existing. But it did not. It actually starred Shaquille O'Neal, not Sinbad. Or the largest quote from the Star Wars franchise being Luke, I am your father. But he actually says,
no, I am your father.
Or one that I just discovered today while I was diving into this topic, being We Are the Champions by Queen, not ending with Freddie belting out of the world. Instead, it goes like this.
We are the champions.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. There's no of the world. That one blew my mind today. And so has it for others. Many, many others. The Mandela Effect. It messes with you. And there are many who theorize and truly believe that Mandela effects like this, where so many in a collective believe the one thing, but the rest of the world is saying it didn't, it's a possibility. It could have been a parallel universe. Somebody messed with time. Was it Bill and Ted? Or what is Marty up to these days?
Great Scott.
I know, this is heavy.
No one knows. Now, there is no concrete evidence that the Mandela Effect is associated in any way with parallel universes or time travel in general. But it could be. No one's saying it isn't. One could say, oh, it's the internet. You know, someone said it wrong, it spread, it got popular. True, could be a possibility. But this also affects older generations. And it also is about events that happened in the 80s. You know, before the internet, really. So I'll leave it up to you. Is the Mandela Effect the leftover footprint of those not all the way affected by some time travel incident, some type of paradox perhaps, some type of parallel universe still hanging in the balance? Or is it just coincidence? The decision is yours. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer, and there you are.
A former governor is honored in his hometown, and they say it's been a long time coming. Joanne Krulatz reports.
Former governor and Richland Center native Vernon W. Thompson was honored in Richland Center at a historic marker dedication ceremony at Crosscut Park on what would have been his 120th birthday. Thompson was born in Richland Center on November 5, 1905. He served as Richland County Assistant DA and City Attorney. From 1944 to 1951, he served as mayor of Richland Center. Current Mayor Todd Coppernall welcomed those in attendance to the ceremony.
It's a wonderful day here in Richland Center as we honor Mr. Vernon Thompson. And as I was reading about him in preparation for the event today, I realized that he served the public for 39 years. From his first day as state assemblyman, state representative, to his last day in the U.S. Congress, 39 years. As someone who has served the public for 9 years, I find that astounding. And I do. And it just strengthens my own respect for the man. And I found myself wishing I had known him, which didn't happen. But thankfully, some of the folks in here today did know him. And I think it's important that we hear that too.
Many felt that this recognition was long overdue, including current mayor Todd Coppernall.
We're righting a wrong today. We're celebrating a man and a career, which we should be doing. But we're also doing something that probably should have happened in the 1970s. I'll freely admit it. I'm not going to get hung up on that piece. I'm going to ask everyone to help me make sure that from this day forward, everyone from here knows who Vernon Thompson was. Everyone from here knows the things that Vernon Thompson did, because he was a very big deal. And go ahead and celebrate him and brag about Vernon Thompson as one of our own.
I'm Joanne Krulotz.
Coming up on New Wisco Weekend, we've got some music for you. Frank Hermans shares a favorite holiday classic. And we go back in time in our very own time machine. This is New Wisco Weekend on 96.5 and 98.3 WISS and at 97.9 WGBW. This is New Wisco Weekend for WISS and WGBW. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. It's time for our cover story. December 8th is Pretend to Be a Time Traveler Day. So we at New Wisco Weekend are traveling back in time to take a look at the music, news stories, and movies in our past. Keeping in mind, as Winston Churchill once said, those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. So let's hop in our time machine and go.
The 1900s, 125 years ago.
One of the most popular songs in the 1900s was The Grand Old Rag by Billy Murray. And yes, I said rag. Flag is not in the title.
You're a grand old rag, you're a high-flying flag, and forever in peace may you wave.
In news, on December 17, 1903, two brothers conducted the first controlled, sustained flight of an engine-powered, heavier-than-air aircraft in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. Those two brothers were, of course, Wilbur and Orville Wright, who changed transportation forever. And a top movie in the first decade of the 20th century was the silent film in 1902 called Trip to the Moon. Critics say it pioneered special effects and trick shots.
The 1910s.
In the movies, the 1910s belonged to the tramp Charlie Chaplin, who starred in 68 films in that decade alone, including The Tramp, Easy Street, and A Dog's Life. Then when you look at news, the Great War was the big news item. It's also known as World War I much later. The U.S. declared war on Germany on April 6, 1917, and on Austria and Hungary in December, 3 years after the conflict began in 1914. And in 1918, the 19th Amendment to the Constitution granted women in our country the right to vote. A popular song from the 1910s would be 1919's Over There from Nora Bays.
That the Yanks are coming, the Yanks are coming, the drum, drum coming everywhere. So prepare, say a prayer, send the word.
The 1920s, 100 years ago.
In the roaring 1920s, as they were called, flight makes history again as Charles Lindbergh makes the first solo nonstop transatlantic flight in 1927. In the movies, Charlie Chaplin's still riding high with the kid in 1921. In 1922, vampire films got their quintessential villain with Nosferatu. And in 1927, the jazz singer made history as the first talking movie.
Wait a minute. You ain't heard nothing yet. Wait a minute, I tell you. You ain't heard nothing. You want to hear Tootsie? All right, hold on.
On the radio and on the Victrolas, St. Louis Blues from Bessie Smith and Louis Armstrong.
The 1930s.
In the 1930s, the stock market crash of October 1929 triggered the Great Depression. And in 1938, the very first minimum wage was established by the Fair Labor Standards Act. In 1938, minimum wage was 25 cents per hour. The movies of the 1930s really took a hold of American people, entertaining during the Depression. Classics like King Kong, It Happened One Night, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Gone with the Wind, and The Wizard of Oz.
One day I'll wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind.
It was also in the 30s, in 1931 to be specific, that the Star Spangled Banner was adopted as our national anthem.
The 1940s.
The 40s were a great time for Christmas music. Bing Crosby's White Christmas, Gene Autry's Rudolph, and Nat King Cole's A Christmas Song all came out in this decade. It was also the decade of swing and big bands, with the Glenn Miller Band topping the charts throughout. In news, Franklin Delano Roosevelt begins his third term as president in 1941, the only U.S. president to serve three terms. Japan bombs Pearl Harbor and Hawaii, and the U.S. declares war on Japan, entering into what would become known as World War II.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
President Roosevelt is inaugurated for the fourth time in 1945, but dies of a stroke a few months later, and Harry Truman becomes president. In August of that year, the U.S. drops the atomic bomb on Hiroshima. At the movies in the 40s, Citizen Kane, The Maltese Falcon, and Casablanca scored big. One film that was a flop at the box office is now considered a holiday classic and a must-see.
Merry Christmas, movie hoes! Merry Christmas, Emporium! Merry Christmas, you wonderful old Billy and Lone!
1946 brought us It's a Wonderful Life.
That's right. The 1950s, 75 years ago.
In the 1950s, we were rebels without a cause. Rock and roll gets its start in the 50s with Bill Haley and the Comets and Rock Around the Clock. Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll, collects 10 number one hits during the decade with classics like Heartbreak Hotel and Jailhouse Rock. Everybody let it rock. In the news, the Korean War dominated the news in the 1950s. The 22nd Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which says, quote, no person shall be elected to the office of president more than twice is ratified. Wisconsin Senator Joseph R. McCarthy accuses members of the government, the media, and many other public figures of being communists during highly publicized hearings.
When a great democracy is destroyed, it will not be from enemies from without, but rather because of enemies from within.
Puerto Rico becomes a U.S. Commonwealth. Alaska and Hawaii become the 49th and 50th states. In the movie theater, Alfred Hitchcock reigned supreme with several movies like North by Northwest, Rear Window, and Vertigo. In drama, 12 Angry Men made waves, and one of the best musicals ever recorded hit the silver screen, Singing in the Rain.
Singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again.
The 1960s.
The 1960s was the coming-of-age decade. It was a decade of violence, and the music of the day reflects it. Poet and folk singer like Bob Dylan.
Oh, the times they are changing.
One of the most important figures of the 1960s was John F. Kennedy, the 35th president. The U.S. failed in a Bay of Pigs invasion of Cuba, and the Cuban Missile Crisis dominated international news. Domestically, Martin Luther King Jr. delivers his I Have a Dream speech.
I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
John F. Kennedy is assassinated. Here's Walter Cronkite from CBS News.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, some 38 minutes ago. Vice President Lyndon Johnson has left the hospital in Dallas, but we do not know to where he has proceeded. Presumably, he will be taking the oath of office shortly and become the 36th President of the United States.
President Lyndon B. Johnson signs the Civil Rights Act, and while black men were officially granted the right to vote in the 15th Amendment back in 1870, blacks were actively prevented from voting until Johnson signed the Voting Rights Act into law, ensuring that no federal, state, or local government could in any way impede people from voting because of their race or ethnicity. JFK's brother, Senator Robert F. Kennedy, is assassinated, as is Martin Luther King Jr., and Richard Nixon is inaugurated as the 37th president. In the good news side of the decade, Neil Armstrong becomes the first man to walk on the moon.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Alfred Hitchcock continues to rack up box office hits with The Birds and Psycho. And sci-fi classic 2001, A Space Odyssey, cashed in on the space travel fever.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
The 1970s.
Music and news became intertwined in the 1970s. Four students are shot to death by National Guardsmen during an anti-war protest at Kent State University in 1970, leading to a famous song from Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Oh, dead in Ohio. Oh, dead in
the Vietnam War came to an end, disco exploded on the scene. In the news, the 26th Amendment to the Constitution lowers the voting age from 21 to 18. The U.S. Supreme Court legalizes abortion in the first trimester of pregnancy in its Roe v. Wade decision. Senate Select Committee begins televised hearings to investigate the break-in of the Democratic Party's office in the Watergate Hotel and the subsequent cover-up in the Nixon administration. Nixon is impeached and resigns as president in 1973.
I shall resign the presidency effective at noon tomorrow.
Nixon is succeeded and given an unconditional pardon by President Gerald Ford. Jimmy Carter then becomes the 39th president in 1977. The Three Mile Island nuclear reactor malfunctions, causing a near meltdown in Pennsylvania, and Iranian students storm the U.S. Embassy in Tehran and take 66 people hostage. At the cinema, the 70s brought us a diverse range of movies, from Saturday Night Fever to the original Halloween, Godfather, Parts 1 and 2, Dog Day Afternoon, and of course, Star Wars. Our time machine is out of fuel, and it's time to wrap this up. So New Wisco Weekend brings us back to the present day in 2025, when in just a moment, we'll have Frank Hermans of Let Me Be Frank Productions and a Christmas classic.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is New Wisco Weekend, and I'm Lisa Hale. The colors of Christmas are red and green. White Christmases are very popular. And recently, Frank Hermans of Let Me Be Frank Productions visited Nightlight with Pete Schwabba to share his favorite Christmas hue.
One of my favorite guests to have here in the studio. I don't like him personally, but I love when he's on the show, and we just seem to make it work. Mr. Frank Hermans, a Wisconsin entertainment legend, is here. Hey, buddy, how are you? How are you doing, buddy?
I'm fantastic, and thanks for having me. Holy cats, is it getting cold out.
I want to ask you, how did Don't Squeeze the Charmin go?
It went fantastic. It was a great show, great run, like a great turnout. And, you know, we've taken our shows. We used to do 4-week runs. Now we do 3-week runs. So there were bigger houses. And we actually, Procter & Gamble bought 2 shows for their company. It was pretty cool. But it was great. And you know what's funny? Now that I did a show with Procter & Gamble, so I thought of a show. Let me tell you what you think. Quick Trip the Musical, right?
Oh.
So I texted the marketing department. Hey, thinking about doing a show in 2027 called Quick Trip the Musical. What do you think? Guess what I got? A big no.
Come on.
I'm sorry, Frank. It was classic. Somebody's assistant wrote it. Well, we get lots of requests for things like this. We won't be interested in that at this time.
Okay, so, but do you know what I do?
Yeah, I spelled it out. So I'm doing a show called Quack Trip. No cease and desist on that.
I messed with the wrong guy.
With the same logo. And which is fantastic. Yeah. Quick Trip's a great organization. I got to meet the owner a couple times when we did some fundraising. But
Paul Tripp.
Yeah.
That's,
I get it. You know,
that's that's ripe for not parody of the business itself, but a story that takes place around a Quick Trip could be kind of fun.
That's
right?
All it's going to be. I haven't gotten permission from a lot of people. I've only got 3 cease and desists in my life. And one was from Paul McCartney's. I did a show called Beer and Wings. And we used wing songs, and I got a cease and desist. They wanted to see the script, and it said that he ate chicken wings, and they wanted me to take that out of the script. Isn't that crazy? But I got correspondence from the management company.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Paul McCartney. And one was Hee Haw. I called Hee Haw Hoedown. I couldn't use the name Hee Haw, so I just called it Hoedown. And the third was I did a show called Grease Trap, and the logo kind of looked like the logo from Grease.
Yeah.
They said, uh-uh. And I had 4 songs that were called, they call them, what do they call? Grand rights. Grand rights are like Disney songs and songs in Broadway musicals that you can't use without written permission from the author. So I had to take out 4 songs.
Come on.
Kid you not.
What if you had done them?
Well,
do they have a guy there?
You don't get next time it's $50,000. So no, I didn't do it. And they bring spotters. I've had spotters in the audience.
Okay.
They hire a law firm. you know, and send somebody.
Frank Hermans is here, folks. We're talking to Frank about many of his upcoming shows. First and foremost, though, is his Christmas show. And it's just called Frank's Christmas, right?
We call it a Frank's Christmas, but it's a different show every year. Yeah. It's just kind of become like a, it's kind of an institution. I tell you what, people have been coming for 26 years. They bring their kids. Wow. They, you know, it grows and grows. Normally our shows are PG-13. This one is PG. I mean, I say heck. That's wow, far as we go. There's
like
no innuendos,
isn't it?
Yeah. What? In fact, I talk like an elf. So, I, what the heck is? Sorry for my profanity, Cindy Lou. Don't be saying that. Heck! What the heck?
Watch your language.
Yeah.
Is that your favorite holiday? It's got to be
Christmas.
Because
of course.
Yeah. I mean,
I have 8 kids, so Christmas at our house is phenomenal, and you know, just the gifts and the food.
But this is great. Your show runs from November 28th through December 27th, mm-hmm. Frank's Christmas. Does it have a title, like a subtitle under Frank's Christmas?
Frank's Who Christmas.
Oh, nice. Yeah, okay. Were you a big fan of Dr. Seuss growing
up? I love Dr. Seuss. In fact, when I was writing the show, I said, kids, give me all your Dr. Seuss books. Because I wanted to put in lines. Like, if you listen, come to the show, you'll hear Cindy Lou go, well, I want to get the mayor present. I'll give him 1 fish, 2 fish, maybe a blue fish and a red fish. You know, Fidwick the Moose makes it, the Cat in the Hat.
Yeah.
I use a lot of Dr. Seuss lines.
That's so great.
Yeah, it's fun.
How fun.
Yeah.
So when did you have this show done and ready?
I had this show written probably would have been a month ago.
Okay.
Yeah, because we were getting Christmas music. First, I get the music, okay? And this one is a little bit more modern. We have some Sia in there. We got some George Michael. We got some, you know, secular and non-secular music in there. But there's some songs that maybe you haven't heard in a while. Remember Step Into Christmas by Elton John is in the show. Step into Christmas, let's join together.
Oh, I don't
anyway,
know that one. Nice.
And Christmas is a time to say I love you, Billy Squire.
Nice.
So
Billy Squire's
yeah, little Billy Squire's got a Christmas song. It's
that.
A big hit.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So little Kelly Clarkson in the show. My whole thing about doing a show is to take you away for 2 hours, so you don't think about anything else. You can be sad. You can be happy. You can be whatever. But all of a sudden, you see the show, and you hear these voices. First of all, everybody can sing like a bird.
Yes.
And the funny story, all the lights, color, the action, and we take you away for 2 hours, and then you go back to your normal life.
You know, that's interesting. Yeah. You say that because the show, it doesn't. You don't. All of you don't have to be good singers because you're entertaining enough. Yeah. It's funny. The acting's good. The writing's great. But when you sing, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like they're outstanding singers, and that's probably what keeps people coming back to see, you know, it's just how talented you guys are.
Yep.
Yeah. So, are you going to play something for us?
Yeah. You ready for something?
All Frank right. Hermans is in the studio, folks.
Here we go.
Blue Christmas.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just thinking about you. A decoration red on a green Christmas tree won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me. When those blue snowflakes start falling, that's when those blue memories start calling. Hey,
thank you for being a part of New Wisco Weekend, our time travel issue. New Wisco Weekend is a production of Civic Media. It's written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale, directed and produced by Lisa Hale. Our lead correspondent is Terry Barr, with features from Joanne Krulatz, Pete Schwaba, and commentator Amanda Nimmer. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS in Appleton and Oshkosh and WGBW in Green Bay. Be unstoppable.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.